Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton is here as well. We are getting you ready for Chiefs and Bills. There will not be a commercial break during this 5 o'clock hour. Yes, we are taking you all the way up until 6 o'clock. The only break we will take is to play Patrick Mahomes conversation. That is coming up in just a little bit. This is where I would like to start our 5 o'clock hour. I don't want to spend too much time on this because we are going to have plenty of future days in which we can talk about the future of the stadium for the Kansas City Royals. So let me start by playing the new report from Bob Fesco of Fesco in the Morning. Here is his latest report on what he is hearing regarding the future of the Kansas City Royals and where they're going to play.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right now. And I think from what the conversations I was having with a lot of people yesterday, this thing is going to move fast and it's going to move quickly. And we're going to know maybe by the winter meetings where the Royals are breaking ground on their new stadium. And I talked to multiple sources on this now. So I have it confirmed from two different folks about what's going on right now in Kansas City, if you will. And I use the air quotes Kansas City on this one, because from what I've been told, the Royals are in real and advanced discussions with the state of Kansas to potentially build their new stadium in Johnson County.
Now, where would that location be?
Well, there are a couple locations that I'm hearing right now. There's a location right inside the 435 loop around Antioch is what I've been told is one location. And then the location that I think a lot of people are very fond of is 119th and Knoll on the old Sprint campus. And there they already have 5 parking garages that exist.
All right. Coming up in a bit, I want to play for you guys what the mayor of Kansas City said. Now, I want to be very clear in this 5 o'clock hour. I like Bob Fesco on a personal level. I like Bob Fesco on a professional level. So nothing I am going to say here for the next 4 to 5 minutes is an indictment on how I feel about Bob Fesco. I am just taking the information and forming my opinion on it. I do not believe that the Royals are moving to Kansas. I think a lot of the problems that the Royals are trying to tell you that they have with where the current stadium is, those problems still exist if they move to 119th and Knoll. This sounds to me like the Royals have reached maybe an impasse on what's going to happen with their downtown stadium, an impasse that it seems like they've had now for almost 2 years. And now we're going to float out some information of, well, you guys aren't playing ball the way that we think you should be playing ball, so we're going to go to Kansas. Isn't this the exact same playbook that we saw a couple of months ago when they floated out the Clay County idea? Remember they tore down the bowling alley and they had all those render rings and, oh, you got to be worried about the Royals moving north of the river. And then we saw eventually they reached a plan and the plan was to build it in downtown Kansas City. I don't think the Royals have been very clear about a lot over the course of the last 2 years, and that's part of the confusion, and trust me, we'll get to that here momentarily. But I do think that the Royals have been very, very clear on where they want the stadium to be. The Royals have been very clear. I don't think the Chiefs have been clear at all. I think the Chiefs have played this thing very close to the vest, and the Chiefs are going to take whatever they think is the best deal. I think the Royals and their new ownership group have said at almost every single turn that we want to be in downtown Kansas City. Now, I think this is a very important question, and we'll talk more about the 119th and Nall location, and we'll play Patrick Mahomes here coming up in a bit. Do the Royals want a new stadium or a downtown stadium? Because those are two very different concepts. The same way that we say, are you looking for Miss Right or Miss Right Now? Those are two different concepts. Sure, they might have a little bit of overlap, but we all know the difference. Do the Royals want a new stadium? And they don't care where in the city it is. It could be in Blue Springs. It could be in Independence. It could be in Overland Park. It could be out by K-10. Wherever they think a new stadium could go. Or do they want a downtown stadium? Because those two things are drastically different. They tell me, or at least we've heard, well, we think this would help attendance. It's going to be a centrally located place. It's not too far off for the people in Kansas, right there in Missouri. It's downtown. There's an entertainment center. There's all of these things. Wouldn't you have very similar problems if you move out to 119th and Nall? Because there's going to be the person that goes that currently lives in Lee's Summit or currently lives in Blue Springs that isn't driving out there on a weekday to go to your game on a Tuesday against the Washington Nationals. So it feels like you have just turned 4+2 into 5+3 by moving out there. I'm not saying that's not a great location. Obviously, a lot of people live out there. Nice area. Makes a lot of sense if you want to move out to the suburbs. But the Royals have never communicated that's what they want to do. One of the frustrating things for me as somebody that lives in Jackson County and lives in Missouri is at some point I want the Royals to really sell us on this vision. I don't think they've sold us on a vision. I think they have sold us on a concept. Those are two different things. A concept is just an idea. Everybody has ideas. Everybody has concepts. What are you doing to push this plan forward? And think about everything that has happened over 2024, they have floated out at least five different ideas in the state of Missouri. They floated out North Kansas City. They floated out the Star Building. They floated out the old Star Building. They floated out Washington Square Park. They floated out the Crossroads. They have floated out so many different ideas, and I think it is really hard for the average Kansas Cityan to kind of wrap your arms around it is, I don't know what they want to do. They've never really communicated to us, the public, other than we want to be downtown. Well, where downtown? Because the idea that all of us originally had, you guys keep telling us that that's not a viable idea. But we've never seen a hardcore rendering or a plan or really any momentum that we can really wrap our arms around as a city and as a community of what the Royals want to do. And it seems to me very different than what's happening with the Chiefs is, there's a lot of hands that seem to be in the pot, whether it's Jackson County, Kansas City, Missouri, the Royals. There's just a lot of people that are happy to talk on and off the record about this and float out different concepts and ideas. And at some point, the Royals, as an entity that is asking for a whole lot of money from a whole lot of people, at some point, you got to bring something concrete. You got to bring something that people can touch and feel and believe in. And I don't think they've really done that at any point in 2024. Maybe you don't believe me, but I can just show you the voting numbers and the fact that they got killed around Jackson County. They got killed in downtown, the Crossroads, Waldo, Blue Springs. There was no part of the city that loved their first plan. The next time you bring something to the people of this community, it's got to be real. It's got to be concrete. And I think all of us are just tired of these hypotheticals that continue to be thrown around about where the Royals are potentially going to play their games. Let me play for you what the mayor of Kansas City said. He was on our show last week. Here's what he said about the future of the Royals.
My view is a very simple one, that the Royals will be playing downtown 10 years from now. I have not wavered, because here's the thing that is interesting, right? We've gone through every drama known to man. There was a conversation last January. Will Jackson County put it on the ballot? There was the April vote. No, everybody was, you know, saying all of these horribles are incurring. There was then the Star Bonds vote. Oh, my God, they're leaving tomorrow. Nothing happens. Nothing keeps happening. What we do need to do are a few things. Kansas City government has continued to talk to the Royals. I think I've met with them now. We did the math the other day about 21 times. We're going to continue to have active and robust discussions. I talked to the governor-elect of Missouri today. We're from different political parties, but we have a shared view on the importance of keeping these teams in Kansas City. I think you're going to see a very active effort from him. He is already connected to the current gubernatorial administration, but, you know, I think you have a governor-elect going in with this as a priority. It is City Hall's priority. The chat about baseball a lot lately has been how can the city help handle that with perhaps a state and county conversation as to the Chiefs. And I think you're going to continue to see more progress in us getting all of this done. I think the Royals want to see that done. Certainly local government does. I think the governor-elect does. Members of the Missouri legislature, I've met with them too, all Republicans. I'm doing my reach across the aisle. This is too big a deal for the state of Missouri and the city of Kansas City.
I am willing to admit my bias on certain things. I've lived in Kansas City, Missouri every single day of my life, aside from the part when I was in college. I love Jackson County. I love Kansas City. Don't really have much of a desire to live anywhere else. I believe that the Royals also want to be in Jackson County. I also believe that they want to be in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. I think what we are seeing is the biggest problem right now is the people that run the government in Jackson County and the people that run the government in Kansas City, Missouri, do not appear to be anywhere close on the same page. I think that lack of togetherness is a major reason why this vote failed the first time. And I think you are going to get a second shot. You might not get a second shot with the Chiefs. I think you are going to get a second shot with the Royals. But just whenever the Royals present this thing, and I don't think it's going to be anytime soon, nothing the Royals have done over the course of this year makes me think that we are getting something concrete over the course of the next couple of days. Now, maybe this is just my job, but I imagine this is a lot of your jobs too. Are you more productive or less productive in the workplace around the holidays? Now, sure, there's some jobs where your busy season is about to happen over the course of the next 6 weeks. A lot of us start to realize things are kind of slow around here. So we think in the middle of Christmas and all of this stuff going on that the Royals are going to present some plan of which we want more of your money close to Christmas time. That sounds like a really bad plan to me if I'm advising the Kansas City Royals. So what I would tell the Royals to do is take another 90 days. I would try to have something after the Super Bowl. Maybe the Chiefs are in it. Maybe they won it. People are feeling good. Spring training is right around the corner. There's going to be a certain level of buzz and optimism about the Royals that hasn't happened leading into a season in a decade. And I would make sure that I have all my ducks in a row coming up in the next 90 days. You have certainly had enough time. That will almost be a year since people have voted on it. You guys keep telling us why we need a new stadium and why it needs to be downtown and how beneficial it's going to be for everybody. Come with some concrete numbers, data, and a plan, and not just sell us on a concept. Sell us on the vision. What do you see downtown baseball bringing to the people of Kansas City? Where is it going to be? Where's the parking? You guys got to answer questions. And I don't think the Royals have really done a good job over the course of 2024 in answering a lot of our questions while simultaneously asking us for money. It seems like something that just happened last week in our country, and we saw how that ended up for one side. Hit the button, Rob.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Number one is going to be very simple. It's our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. We talk to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs every single week. We are not taking a commercial break here in the 5 o'clock hour. We are taking you all the way up until 6 o'clock. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Chiefs, and my first question is what I think everybody is asking. Yo, how do you guys do this every single week?
Man, it's just we just go out there and play football. I mean, obviously, it's been close games a lot this season, but that just speaks to the culture that we have here and the teammates that I have around me. I mean, it takes everybody, and I think that was the biggest thing you saw from this week is that we're going to fight to the very end.
It was kind of hard to avoid it, but I'm sure you saw a lot of the Broncos fan reaction. Did you get a chance to see any of that on social media this weekend?
I honestly haven't seen much of it. I'm sure they weren't too happy, though, so I'm going to have to go check that out after this.
Yeah, I was just laughing about it because, you know, there's some Chiefs fans that just, like, hate John Elway and hate Peyton Manning for always beating their team, and I was thinking this weekend, like, there is a Broncos fan, like a kid right now, 11, 12 years old, and, like, you were their least favorite player because you always beat their team.
Yeah, I mean, I had certain guys like that growing up, too. You always want your team to win, and I try to go out there and have fun and do it the right way, but obviously it's going to upset some people when you beat their team a good amount.
Patrick, take us inside the locker room because I'm guessing that was as spirited as hype of just a complete total team effort that you've been a part of.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think the biggest thing for me is I've never been a part of something like that. I mean, I've been a part of some walk-off wins and some big defensive stops and stuff like that, big field goals. But to have a field goal block, I mean, obviously we trust those guys, and they go through their week and find ways to find weaknesses within the special teams. But that's just such a hard play to do. And so for a guy to make a big play in that moment to win the football game as a kind of a walk-off, it was something that I'll have for the rest of my career.
I was just going to ask you, where does that rank in terms of regular season wins? You guys have certainly had some great postseason wins. Maybe that win you guys had early in your career against the Ravens with the big pass play on fourth down. I'm just trying to think of what's an exciting regular season win that you think would even rival what happened on Sunday.
Yeah, there's not a lot. I mean, like you said, that Ravens win, just because – it was so early in my career. Maybe the Chargers one when Travis has the catch and breaks all the tackles in overtime and scores a touchdown. That one's up there. But definitely one of the bigger regular season wins as far as momentum swings and emotion swings and stuff like that. And so it was definitely a really cool moment, man. I mean, just to be a part of, and I think you saw by the celebration by everybody.
What is it about the Broncos? Is it just the fact that they are a division rival? It feels like you've just played them really tough or something happened. You know, you had a significant injury against the Broncos. Your first start was against Denver, Monday Night Football with the left-handed throw. You've just had so many of these moments in your career, and they normally seem to happen against Denver for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good franchise and a really good football team. I mean, they play hard the entire game. They're well coached. They got great players, and we always know it's going to be a challenge, especially in division and especially against the Broncos, because you know they want to beat us as much as we want to beat them. And so definitely always a challenge, and there's been some big moments in my career, but I'm glad that we were able to find a way to get a win in this one.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, we are coming up on a month since the D-Hop trade. What have you learned most working with him over the course of the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think just the intelligence. I mean, he really is a football savant, man. He watches the little things. He really focuses on his craft, and that's what you want. I mean, not only on the football field, but in that room with all those receivers, is a veteran guy who's done it at a high level for a long time. And I think he's just gonna keep getting more and more involved in the offense, and that's gonna keep getting other guys open. We left some stuff out there, not just me and him, but just in general as the offense. This last week, and we got to be better at executing there, and they'll take our best this week against the Bills.
And you describing him, I hear a lot of the similarities in how you kind of approach football and how you see it. What's been the process like to kind of get him up to speed? Are you and him watching extra film? Are you guys working together? What is the process to get him acclimated to this offense since he joined midseason?
Yeah, it's just a little bit of all of it. I mean, he's been in the building, I mean, just as much as I have, just learning the offense, learning how we do things, learning how we coach things. And then learning how I see the game as well, and I try to do the same for him. And whenever you get a guy mid-season like this, it's about getting him up to speed as fast as possible, and I think we've done a good job of that so far. But he'll continue to learn more and more each and every week, and I think that's a big thing for us as an offense going forward.
You mentioned a couple of missed throws from the last game. What's the throw when you went back and watched film? You're kind of like, that's one I should have made.
Yeah, I think the one to Trav was probably the biggest one, just because of the moment of the game, and then he was open, so just getting the throw down a little bit and letting them get a chance to go up and catch it in the back of the end zone, it just puts our defense in a better spot where they're not having to guard against a field goal and a touchdown, where they know what the Broncos need to get to, and they can coach that way. That was big. I mean, obviously the one to Worthy, I mean, you want to hit those deep ones. We've missed a couple of those these last few weeks, but kind of that was more of an off script, kind of going one way and kind of saw him beat his guy and try to make the throw, but still throws I believe I can make.
I was going to ask you about the Worthy play. You guys have missed that the last couple of weeks. Is that related to his speed? Is that timing-wise? You guys have been unable to connect these last couple of weeks in those big home run swings, and that's the kind of player that he is. What needs to change? Maybe it's in your fundamentals. What needs to change to connect on those passes in the future?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, I've got to make the throw. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, he's getting open. He's getting separation. And that's what we got him here for. And if I make the throws, he should have probably three or four more touchdowns. So it's about me just being better and making the throw.
What is that process like? Is it film? Because I remember earlier in the year when you and I talked, you kind of talked about your base and your fundamentals. Is it kind of getting back to some of those things, or is it something else?
I think it's just, I mean, it's just playing ball. I mean, like in that one, it's a difference whenever it's kind of within the structure of the play, and I see him and I try to make the throw and make the touchdown throw, which has happened this year, but that's happened good and bad. But whenever the play pops, and he might not be necessarily the main read, and kind of like this one this last weekend, and I see him. I got to be able to set my feet up and make the throw and keep it in bounds and give him a chance. And I thought he did a great job stacking on the red line and giving me room to make the throw, and I threw it out of bounds.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here for a couple of minutes. Patrick, one thing I've learned from talking to you over the years, you always say, you know, it's the NFL. You don't need any extra motivation. This feels like the game that embodies that more than anything. You got the two best teams in the AFC. You went there last year in the postseason. You guys always play these tightly contested games. You know what you're heading into on Sunday.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I don't think there's any extra motivation. I think you just know it's going to take your best in order to win this football game. You're playing against one of the best teams in the NFL, the team that you played a lot of times and know every single time it seems like it comes down to the wire. And we're going to be in a hostile environment. So we understand that it's going to take our best football in order to get the win. And that should be enough motivation in itself.
You mentioned it last year, sort of embracing the villain. Where would you rank Buffalo in terms of just hostile environments? You know, that image of you running off the field and fans are loud, they're throwing things, and you're running off celebrating a win. Where would you kind of rank Buffalo in some of the toughest environments that you've played in?
Yeah, I mean, pretty simple. I mean, they don't like me a lot, and they don't like the Chiefs a lot, so I'm sure it'll be pretty hostile out there.
What is it like to be, I guess, perceived as the underdog in this one? You guys are the favorites. You guys are the two-time defending champion, but there's going to be a lot of people that pick against you this week. What's it like to be perceived as the underdog heading into this game?
Yeah, I mean, you don't pay attention to most of those things, especially during the regular season. I mean, it's week to week in this league, and it just kind of depends on if you played good the week before or not. And we feel like we didn't play our best football the week before, but at the same time, we have to find a way to play our best football this week if we want to get a win.
You guys always talk about your goals, you know, taking care of the division, making sure that you have the one seed. I don't have to tell you how important this game is in locking up that one seed conversation, and it goes a long way beating a team that is directly behind you in the standings. How important is it to you? How important is it to this team to make sure that the AFC Championship game is played again in Arrowhead?
Yeah, it's extremely important. I mean, obviously, it wasn't last year and we were able to get it done, but just to have that advantage of being at Arrowhead, being home, being able to rest your body for that week with the bye week, I mean, there's definitely advantages to it, and it's an important game as far as seeding and stuff like that goes. But it's a long season, so we just got to keep building and keep getting better and try to take care of business this week. But at the same time, we have to just focus on today, and that's all we can do.
I've got two final questions, and I'll get you out of here. Two questions I've never asked you before. You guys are going to Buffalo, home of the Buffalo Wings. When it comes to chicken wings, are you a drums guy or a flats guy?
I'm a flats guy for the most part, but I like them both. I'm not picky at all. Like, whatever I get, and I'm just going to devour them.
That's kind of where I am with chicken, too. People always say, it's like, bro, I just like chicken. Like, you eat the drums, I'll eat the flats, whichever one. As long as the chicken's good, I don't care.
That's 100%. I'm the same way. Like, I know people are super picky on which one they're getting. I'm just, whenever I get wings, I'm just grabbing what's there and I'm eating them.
All right, I'm going to give you my favorite three wing flavors, and I want to know what yours are. I'm going to go lemon pepper one. I like a good, like, Cajun rub, Louisiana rub, and I also like garlic parmesan. Whenever you're ordering wings, what are your three favorite wing flavors?
Yeah, first, like a barbecue, honey barbecue. I mean, I always love that. I know it's kind of original, but I like that. I like the regular hot wings, and then I would probably say garlic parmesan is my third one. But I'm not, same thing, man. I'll eat a lot of different flavors of wings. That's just kind of the three go-tos I go to.
If you guys had a wing competition, like, in the locker room, like, every player's there, who can eat the most wings in, like, a 10-minute setting, like Joey Chestnut style, who wins the contest?
Trey Smith, no doubt.
Hands down. You didn't even hesitate on that one.
No, right when you started answering the question, I knew who I was answering.
That's the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today as they get ready for one of the biggest matchups in the regular season, Chiefs and Bills. Patrick, man, great talking to you, man. Appreciate your time as always.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Absolutely. That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, I would like to ask you this question, and we'll get back to very serious football things here coming up in a bit. Let's say that Binkley is ineligible for this contest because Binkley is the obvious answer in this. If we had a wing eating contest right here on 96.5 The Fan, who do you think would win this? Who do you think the favorite is going into it? If Binkley can only watch, he can just judge.
And it's speed's part of the game here,
no,
too.
No, just 10 minutes. However many wings you can eat in 10 minutes. So it's a little speed. It's also longevity here, endurance.
Let me work backwards and start eliminating people. I think Gold's out. I don't think Gold stands a chance. I would probably eliminate Bob. He's too healthy to have put wings down like that. I think you might be in the top three.
I think I'm telling you, I'm not.
You don't think you're in the top three?
I think Cody's the favorite.
I would say it's either you, Cody, or what do we do with Speck? Speck is at the staff, but
Dusty,
not on the air.
Dusty could possibly win this
Dusty's
thing.
A dark horse.
Yeah, Dusty could possibly win this thing. I'm not saying he's a favorite going into it. I think that Gold's a favorite. But
you
I do
love
think,
chicken wings, though. How are you not in the top three? Is it the speed? Is the speed going to be the killer for
you?
Yeah,
I just think after about 10 of them, I'm usually good. Like, I'm not trying to eat 15, 20 of them. That seems like a lot. It seems like I'm doing a lot here. That's not really what I'm interested in.
Is there a food where you're like, oh, I would win at the station? No doubt. We're commercial free. We can talk about this for 90 seconds.
I could eat a lot of street tacos. You know I love a good street taco. A little onion, a little cilantro, a little salsa on top. I could put down some street tacos if that's necessary. If that's the task at hand. I feel very, very confident in my ability. Let's get back to talking about the Chiefs. And I don't know why this just hit me earlier today. I mean, I've certainly thought this before, but it really changed leading into this game. You know, a lot of you are like me. Lifelong Kansas City and been watching the Chiefs your whole life. And as somebody who is under the age of 40, the Patriots' dominance is all I know. I kind of remember the Cowboys' run. You remember the Broncos when they had their run in the late 90s. You remember Brett Favre getting to a couple of Super Bowls. But for the most part, the Patriots have been the team that has defined your NFL fandom. They have won the most Super Bowls. They have had the most success. They have been the dynasty from the time that you were in high school up until now. And it is wild to think that in just a short period of time, we went from seeing the sun set on the New England Patriots to seeing the Chiefs basically become everything that the Patriots used to be. Think about the feelings that you used to have towards New England. That is the same feelings that Buffalo fans have towards you. That is the same feeling that Cincinnati fans have towards you. Think about the dominance that we saw from the Patriots in their own division. That's not the dominance that the Chiefs currently have over the other teams in the AFC West. Think about some of the miraculous wins that we have seen the Patriots have. Is that not what the Chiefs have? And I think one step further, and what really made me think about this week is, it felt like for 15 years, every season you knew the Patriots were going to be 10-1, and whichever team Peyton Manning was on was going to be 10-1 or 9-2, and you knew how important that game was going to be. I can't remember a time when Brady and Manning went up against each other that the game didn't have incredible significance, that it didn't dictate who was going to host the AFC Championship game or who was the favorite or who was the better team. And we saw this every single year, it felt like, for basically our entire teenage years. That's what your kids are now seeing with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Every time these two teams play each other, it's incredibly meaningful. Whether it was last year and what happened with Kadarius Toney, whether it was Patrick Mahomes' first postseason game, what I think is Patrick's best win of his career was the 13 seconds that spawned the Grim Reaper quote. I mean, every time these two teams play each other, it is a moment. It is an event. It's why we love the NFL so much. I think we kind of oversell the fact that every game matters in the league. No, we watch enough football to know every game doesn't matter in the league. Every week doesn't matter the same. But then you get these kind of matchups that this can help determine who is going to the Super Bowl. Now, the Chiefs have certainly shown their ability to go on the road and win these games, but you'll always take the home AFC Championship game. You'll always take the bye week and extra time to prepare. And the Chiefs, albeit they didn't have the bye last year, the Chiefs being able to take off the final week of the regular season was a big boost to them down the stretch. It is impossible to undersell how important this game is. Buffalo has two losses right now. If the Chiefs win, Buffalo will have three losses, and they will have lost the tiebreaker. That puts you four games. You have to play four games better than Kansas City down the final six, 7 weeks of the season. That is not happening in Buffalo. They eliminate themselves in the conversation with the loss. If Kansas City loses this game, they go from having a pretty comfortable advantage, I would say, right now in the AFC playoff picture to, hey, the end of the season's going to be kind of dicey a little bit. You got to win these games. You can't coast in the second half of the season, especially because you've already lost the tiebreaker to the team that is your biggest opposition. It does not get any bigger of a regular season game than what the Chiefs have coming up. Usually in the regular season, you can kind of overcome it, right? There's enough time to be able to overcome it. There is not enough time for the Buffalo Bills to be able to overcome losing to Kansas City on Sunday. There simply is not. You are done in that conversation. You can still be the 2 seed. Sure, of course. You cannot be the 1 seed. And for Kansas City to have an ability to, I think, bury the teams that people think are their 2 biggest competitors heading towards the Super Bowl in the AFC, and you can do that before you go buy your turkey, is an incredible advantage. Baltimore cannot be the 1 seed, and you are 60 minutes away from making it possible where Buffalo could not be the 1 seed in the AFC playoffs. So again, I cannot undersell it. Sometimes we in the media love to sell hyperbole and tell you how important individual NFL games are. You usually can lose 5-6 times in the NFL, and it doesn't really matter or really change our standings on whether we think you can win the Super Bowl or not. You cannot have a more important regular season game than the Chiefs are about to play on Sunday against the Bills.
I would argue that Sunday is very important for both teams. Don't get me wrong. But for everything you just laid out, I think Buffalo is more on the line for Buffalo by a large margin than the Chiefs. And maybe that's because I don't believe in the Steelers. That's part of the story here, because I think even if the Chiefs lose on Sunday, which is a very real possibility, I don't know they're going to lose the Christmas Day game to the Steelers. I don't know they have another 2-3 losses banked. So the Chiefs are probably looking at 14-3, 13-4. If they lose, that's a real race. But if Buffalo loses, the race is over. It's done. And I know the Steelers are still mathematically there, but I don't believe in that football team at all. I don't believe in them. Let me rephrase that. I don't believe in them on the level I believe in the Ravens, Bills, or Chiefs. I believe they're a tier down. I believe they're a little bit schedule driven. Yeah, so a Chiefs win ices it.
I'm there too. And to add on what you're saying, sorry to cut you off there at the end. I don't see a scenario in which Pittsburgh goes 14-3. Could Pittsburgh win 12 games this year? Sure. Something would have to go terribly wrong for the Chiefs to finish the regular season with 12 wins. They have 9 right now. You think they're playing with a losing record the rest of the way? Like, I just don't see a scenario in which Pittsburgh goes 13-4 or 14-3 this year. So I'm with you. Pittsburgh is only 2 games back. You also play them later in the year. So a very similar conversation that we're having about Buffalo, we also are going to be able to have about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, you can eliminate them too as well from the conversation. But I think most people look at Buffalo and Baltimore as being the 2 biggest contenders to the Kansas City Chiefs, and you are just so far ahead of the Ravens now at this point, and you can give yourself that same distance between you and the Buffalo Bills. Let me play this for you. So earlier today, this is what Nate Taylor had to say about the left tackle situation with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk more about it here coming up after the cut, but we have seen enough throughout this season. We've seen enough to know that right now, Kingsley Suamataia is not a starting left tackle in the National Football League. That's not to say that he can't become a starting left tackle in the National Football League. I'm talking about right now. We are week 11? Week 12? I don't know. We've seen a lot of football. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. The Chiefs benched Kingsley in his 2nd game, never gave him his job back. And then we saw, after 2 months of sitting on the bench, we saw him get another opportunity as a starting left tackle in the league, and it did not go well. So we have seen enough to deduce he is not ready to be a starting left tackle. Maybe in 2025 he will be ready. Maybe in 2026 he will be ready. He is not ready today. So armed with that information, I would be calling Donovan Smith if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's what Nate Taylor had to say about it.
Guys, he's ready. He did the now. He's done the wise thing for him, because he dealt with the neck, the stinger, the shoulder. Oh, yeah. That's the reason why Wanya played the last like 5 or 6 games of the regular season last year, was because, hey man, you're getting old, and like whether you're Jerick McKinnon or Donovan Smith, you're like, hey, man, call me when the games get real, which is essentially right now, kids. It's November. Guess what? Like, we're back to real football, like games that have stakes where it's cold outside, when there's, you know, when you need smart, competent players to limit your mistakes, right, to limit your exposure to your weaknesses versus trying to attack the other team's weaknesses. That's really what this comes down to.
We talked about this earlier. Sometimes you got to look at what your liabilities are. I don't think the Chiefs have a lot of liabilities. You could maybe argue wide receiver, but we think they're getting Hollywood Brown back at some point this season, and that's going to limit it in some ways. I don't think cornerback is a liability for this team. I think they're fine. Nazi Johnson's coming back. You got one of the best corners in the league in Trent McDuffie. You develop one other corner. I think you're fine. It would appear that we know what their biggest liability is. It's at left tackle. If something happens to Wanya Morris, do you trust Kingsley to get you through a playoff push? I don't have a whole lot of confidence in that scenario. Now, I don't think there's any reason to fret about that, but you have a guy who knows your system, knows your scheme, fits into the locker room, is getting healthy and recovering, that you can call off the bench as a sub. And you don't need him to hold up for 17 weeks. You don't need that. But at some point, what I would like for the Chiefs to do is to prepare in case of an emergency. They had a potential emergency in Sunday's game. They had a potential emergency. They lost their starting left tackle, and there was a clear weakness on the left side of their offensive line. So go call Donovan Smith. Maybe he is not the perfect solution to a problem, but at this point, he could maybe be your best solution to a problem. I want to be clear. I'm not saying that Kingsley is a bust. I'm not saying he can never be the Chiefs starting left tackle. I'm saying is we are almost at Thanksgiving time, and do you feel comfortable in three playoff games for this team to do something that no other team has had happen? Do you feel confident enough in Kingsley Suamattie to help get you there? And I'm telling you that I've seen enough to know he ain't ready yet to do that. Let me play for you guys what Matt Verderam had to say. He and I are on the same page.
I do not believe they will play Suamattie again, unless it is an absolute emergent, no other option situation. Look, that game, I mean, let's put it this way. I think the Chiefs saw what we all saw. There were four or five snaps. He did not touch the guy he was supposed to be blocking. And Nick Bonino, Chiefs fans owe him somewhat of a debt of gratitude. There were a couple times that he really wanted to just clean Mahomes' clock. He could have done it. He didn't do it. He hit him. He knocked him down, but he didn't bury his helmet in his back or something like that. I do not think, from conversations I've had, that we're going to be seeing Suamattie again, unless it is just they're down four offensive linemen and they have to put him in there. I think right now the game's too fast for him, and they know that.
It used to be, and I understand it's different for every team, you kind of expected your year one guys to be able to step in day one, or your first round pick, better way of saying it, your first round pick guys to be able to help instantly. Your second, third round picks, you'd like for them to be able to help, but not everybody develops at the same speed. And your day three guys were more for depth. They were lottery tickets, it felt like, in a way. And if you got something from them, great. Now, I think that this team's success and how strong of a roster they are has kind of changed it a little bit. You don't need as much contribution from young players on this team that some other teams need. Some other teams are heavily reliant on rookies to get to where they want to go. Not really where the Chiefs are. You'd like for Xavier Worthy to be a little bit better, but trust me, they'll be fine without Xavier Worthy developing this season. They did perfectly fine with getting minimal contribution last year from their first round draft pick. They are okay in the short term with, quote, missing on those picks. This is not a long-term indictment on Kingsley. I don't think that Kingsley has just been given enough time. But you also can't tell me I'm not seeing what I saw. You can't tell me that. You guys told me all offseason he was your guy. You told me all training camp he was your guy. You then saw him in a game, and less than six quarters into the season, you benched him. Not because of injury, because of productivity. He then got another opportunity. It was clear he is not ready for it. So I don't know if you still got Donovan Smith's number. I'm sure he's on Twitter. Send him a message. Hey, how's it going? You doing okay? Have you been working out? Would you be interested in maybe coming back? Maybe not right now. We still got a little bit of time. Why don't you spend Thanksgiving with your family? Why don't you do that? And after Thanksgiving and the first of the year, why don't you come back? You know, after this game against the Bills, I believe they have Carolina and Las Vegas left this month. Carolina and Las Vegas. Maybe we don't need you for that stretch. But we got a stretch at the end of the year where they go on the road and they play Cleveland and then they play Pittsburgh and then they play Houston. That's a pretty important stretch in the season. You play 3 games in 10 days. Maybe we could use an extra body in case of an injury to happen. So I would like to suggest right now the Chiefs picking up the phone and just giving Donovan Smith some time to kind of get working out, get ready, and potentially help this team in the final 4 or 5 games of the season.
Carrington, I don't disagree with you, but I think your idea is a little flawed with Donovan Smith because I've been here. I do the show every day with you, except for when KU plays North Carolina. That's obviously more important.
No, that's true. That's fair.
When those two match up, I don't do the show. But generally speaking, I do the show with you. And when the Chiefs were wide receiver poor before the DeAndre Hopkins trade, a popular name on the text line was Hunter Renfrow, not the Rose outfielder, the kid from Clemson. Hunter Renfrow this, Hunter Renfrow that, Hunter Renfrow, Hunter Renfrow, Hunter Renfrow. And you said a very simple but succinct message. A guy who is a free agent at an important position in the NFL usually isn't just available come Halloween. Donovan Smith plays left tackle. Jason Peters is 47 years old. He's playing left tackle in the league. Someone picked him up. Donovan Smith plays left tackle and did so last year for a Super Bowl team and has a previous Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes vouch for Donovan Smith. Why is he on the couch on November 12th? Why has no one brought Donovan Smith in? I understand the idea that maybe early in the season, the Chiefs are like, hey, we might give you a call early because, you know, Wandye's fighting an injury coming into camp and Kingsley might not be ready. But it ain't early anymore. It's nearing late into the season. No, he watches football the way me and you watch football. Do you find it perhaps that the people who know more than us and that there is more injury concern with a guy who last year struggled with injury and right now is watching the game on TV the same way Joe and Olathe is?
I don't disagree with your premise, but what I would say in a very similar way to Terrell Suggs a couple of years ago, at this point, it doesn't cost you anything to find out if you're the Chiefs. It doesn't cost you anything. Let's say that you are 100% right and you bring him in. We agree an injury is going to happen between sometime now and then, and you will have a roster spot that is available. Are you going to elevate somebody or potentially bring somebody in? Now, we don't have to have this conversation in full now, but at some point, if you want to bring Donovan Smith in, there is a deadline for you to be on a roster. You can't just show up right before the playoff game like, hey, I'm ready to help. You have to be on a team by a certain time. If Wanye can't go, you are going to need some level of protection. I think that Donovan Smith could potentially be a good level of production for you. I want to play this for you guys before we have to sign off today. We are going commercial free here in the 5 o'clock hour. So Marquez Valdes-Scantling did an interview. He got called by Kay Adams and FanDuel because he probably won some people some money. You know, you play daily fantasy and you pick MVS up because I'm sure he was like $3,000 and MVS probably helped you a little bit. So they put an interview request in and they got MVS, who had 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. MVS had the day that you guys were trying to convince me yesterday that Cortland Sutton had. You guys were talking about Cortland Sutton like he was that dog. He didn't do what MVS did. So MVS went on with Kay Adams, and kind of like Taylor Rooks in the NBA, people go on that Kay Adams show and just start lying, man. I don't know what it is. Listen to MVS.
I mean, with that guy, you always got a shot. I think he's the best to ever play this game at the quarterback position. You know, so if you got, you know, that guy on your team, you always got a shot to win. He's one of my favorite teammates that I've ever had, one of my closest friends that I've ever made in the NFL, mm-hmm. him and Devontae. So just with those two guys alone, you always got a shot. And they'll figure it out. They'll turn it around. I know the competitive nature that those two guys have and how much they actually care about winning. Mm-hmm. And I think that they'll figure it out.
They're two games out of a playoff spot. You're saying he's the best ever.
Yeah, I think he's the best ever. And like I said, I played with some of the best to ever do it. And I think Pat is right behind him. I think Josh is equally as talented as all those guys.
All right, so. Love that.
Did MVS just say that he thinks Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback of all time? Now, I understand that everybody is entitled to their own opinion. I get it. I really do. I understand. And not everybody has to think the exact same thing. Maybe you think that LeBron is better than Jordan. Maybe you think Jordan's better than LeBron. That's fine. I don't care. But you can have the opinion that Aaron Rodgers is better than Patrick Mahomes. That's not an opinion I can co-sign. That's not an opinion that I can let slide. Especially when you've seen Pat up close. You was at the last Super Bowl. You didn't see those two drives? You were at the one before then. You didn't see the run against the Eagles to get you in field goal range? Was MVS on the team that had the 13 seconds against Buffalo? He was there at that. He was playing in that game, right? I'm not crazy. Aaron Rodgers? It's the best to ever do it? Okay. Sounds like a little hateration, holleration to me. That's what it sounds like. And the crazy thing about this is, too, is I don't think Aaron likes you like that. You were just sitting there unemployed. We know Aaron hooks up his people. We saw Nathaniel Hackett almost ruin Russell Wilson. And he's still got a job as the offensive coordinator in the league. He's ruining the Jets right now. Everything he touches turns into crap. Everything. And you're telling me that Aaron Rodgers didn't go get you? You were unemployed. He would have went to go get Randall Cobb. He'd have went to go get Alan Lazard. He'd have went to go get James Jones or Greg Jennings. He didn't go get you when you were unemployed. No, I mean, I guess Pat didn't either. I mean, to be fair, Pat also let you go play for the Saints. Believe me, if Pat really wanted MVS back, he'd be back. Trust me. They would have been like, all right, hey, Pat, you know what? Instead of us bringing up Peyton Hendershot, we'll bring you back. No, all right, cool. We'll let you come back. All right, hey, MVS, we appreciate you. You saw they went to go get Juju. You saw they went to go get McColl. McColl was in the same situation. They went to go get him back. McColl been happy ever since. Juju, he been happy. I saw something earlier today. Let me read this to you. This was from our dear friend of the show, James Palmer, formerly of NFL Network. So he tweeted this out earlier today. Let me pull this up. When it comes to what James Palmer had to say, he said, just a hunch, he believes that Juju is close to coming back for the Kansas City Chiefs. He says that he thinks Juju is right around the corner of being able to help this team. This is what he tweeted. I found it. My assumption, Isaiah Pacheco won't play Sunday versus the Bills. That feels like a pretty safe assumption. Usually what the Chiefs do is they activate you. He'll practice this week. I actually think there's a chance they let Pacheco practice for 2 weeks. I don't really think there's much reason to let Isaiah Pacheco play next week against the Carolina Panthers. Like, you got to really give me some strong reasons on why Isaiah Pacheco needs to play against the Carolina Panthers. I'm not seeing it. That's a bottom five team in the league. That team is terrible. I would let Isaiah Pacheco get 2 weeks of practicing, acclimate yourself, and you have him ready to play that Black Friday game against the Las Vegas Raiders. That's what I would do if I'm the Chiefs. So I don't think he's playing this week, and I also wouldn't play him next week. But James Palmer says, but Juju Smith-Schuster does return this week from his hamstring injury. I know he put my assumption there. I don't think that James Palmer, who is a reporter, really isn't somebody that makes an assumption without having some kind of knowledge. That's something I would do. This is what I assume. I don't know. I don't think that's what James Palmer would do, which is make an assumption about availability for this game, unless he kind of heard something through the grapevine or somebody important told him that's the case. And them getting Juju back for this game would be big. The Chiefs still have a wide receiver issue. Now, I get it. They win all their games, and you're telling me the regular season doesn't matter. I get all that. I hear what you're saying. They still got a little bit of a wide receiver issue, and getting back another trusted wide receiver that could help them would actually be really, really good.
DeAndre Hopkins had 4 catches for 56 yards. Do you know who the next wide receiver was in Sunday's game? It was Xavier Worthy. He had 1 catch for 11 yards. Xavier Worthy didn't have a catch last week. The last 2 games, he has 1 catch for 11 yards. Xavier Worthy has not been that good over the course of the last couple of weeks. So if you were telling me that we are heading now towards the back stretch of the season and you think that Juju is next up in the queue and you could possibly be getting Hollywood Brown back in a couple of weeks and you also activated Charles Omenihu so he could go for this team, this team could be coming out on the other side of the injury bug. They got bit by the injury bug heavy there for a couple of weeks. Every week somebody was going down. Isaiah Pacheco was going down, Rashee Rice, Juju Smith-Schuster. They had a lot of injuries over a short amount of time. The injury bug has slowed down a little bit for the Chiefs. They're coming out on the other side, and a lot of the guys who either were hurt and banged up in the first half of the season or simply just haven't played for them at all this season, those guys are starting to get healthy. Those guys are starting to get right. You could have Juju back for this game. You could have Isaiah Pacheco back by the end of the month. You could have Charles Omenihu back by the end of the month, and you could be having Hollywood Brown come back before Christmas time. Right now, it is just about holding on. I don't mean that like in a negative sense, but just – if you can be a 14-1 team and you're getting all those guys back and those guys are starting to kind of play themselves into football shape and get ready for the stretch run, you really give yourself, Rob, a chance to do something special.
The Chiefs are in a near perfect situation. They are undefeated and they look like, if not the top team in the NFL, one of the top 3 teams in the league. No one has them beneath 2 or 3 in a power rankings. Not that power rankings don't matter. And you could say, despite the trade deadline having passed, they're about to make multiple additions to their roster. Isaiah Pacheco, despite what the text line tells me, or at least the Kareem Hunt hive tells me, is an upgrade over Kareem Hunt. Charles Omenihu is an upgrade over Anudike Uzama. And Juju Smith-Schuster is an upgrade at this point over Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy, it's similar to what you said about Kingsley earlier this hour. Doesn't mean he's a bust, doesn't mean he's done, doesn't mean he's cooked, but Juju Smith-Schuster is more important for the team than Xavier Worthy at this point in time because of the trust factor. You are potentially adding those 3 veterans back into the fold right when we start playing more Mariah Carey. Right when you see your neighbor put the Christmas lights up. Right when you are sitting down on a Friday night with the family and watching the Griswolds, Isaiah Pacheco could be running and relatively fresh again. Juju Smith-Schuster could be playing wide receiver, and Charles Omenihu could be basically an edge rusher only and cause real problems for the team. It is a near perfect scenario.
How much more time do we have left in here?
Because, you got about 2.5 minutes.
Okay, because you just got me to think something that I think I can say this now and that this is a safe space. Because you got my mind going when you said they're Griswolds. Kind of overrated Christmas movie, but you know what? That's neither here nor there. I don't want to argue about that. It's not my point. Is this a safe space to say that I'm kind of tired of watching A Christmas Story? I was thinking that. Now, I don't know if you did this, Rob, when you were a kid, but you remember, I think it was either TNT or TBS. They're owned by the same people, so it's the same thing. But you remember where TNT and TBS would do that 24-hour marathon where that's all they would show on Christmas Eve leading into Christmas? If I had to be honest with you guys about the movie that I have seen the most, number one is Christmas Story. Even though you only watch it once a year, but I would probably watch it 4 or 5 times over the course of a day and a half. It was just always on. It was my mom's favorite Christmas movie. So I've seen it a bunch. I don't know if I need to see it anymore. I really don't. I don't know if I need to watch Christmas Story anymore. We need new Christmas classics. That's what we need. When's the last time they made a Christmas classic, Rob? Is that Night Before?
I mean, are you going to go see Red One with The Rock? And
I am excited to see that movie. I can't lie. I am excited to see that. I liked that Violent Night last year. I liked that. That was good. That was funny. I thought that. I enjoyed that movie. It was good. All right. Commercial free 5 o'clock hour. We did it. Thank you so much for listening. I know some of you got college basketball to watch. I'm really excited about the second game. The first game, how many years do we got to see KU pummel on Michigan State in this Champions Classic? Yo, you got to win a championship in the last 20 years for you to be a part of the Champions Classic. Can we please please let's kick Michigan State out and let's bring up UConn. I'm tired of this. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.